Running a business is hard enough. Don't make it harder with a dozen apps that don't talk to each other. One for sales, another for inventory, a separate one for accounting. That's software overload. Odoo is the all-in-one platform that replaces them all. CRM, accounting, inventory, e-commerce, HR. Fully integrated, easy to use, and built to grow with your business. Thousands have already made the switch. Why not you? Try Odoo for free at odoo.com. That's odoo.com.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? Wash away your worries with Anabay. Anabay is the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabric. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Shop washablesofas.com for early Black Friday savings, up to 60% off site-wide, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Football full circle.
On the right, fake to Armstrong, run, hook five.
Launches down the middle for McCleskey, and it's free! Touchdown! Touchdown! They take the lead with 3 seconds left!
Patterson to the end zone, drives his way in! Virginia Tech has won it!
All right, here we go. College football full circle. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, channel 204. I got to tell you, Joe, as we start today's show, every day I think that we're maybe going to finally, just for even 24 or 48 hours, move away from the nonstop news about the realignment and the Big 12 and the SEC. Every time, Joe, I think we're going to get to finally zero in on some look-ahead lines for week two and beyond, some fun props. Sure enough, Joe, that never happens because this story just continues to get bigger and bigger. First, before we get into today's nonsense with the Big 12, Joe, how are you, my man?
I'm doing well, but I started breaking down week one games already, Carver, and I'm like, I have to get through it. I can't talk about the unbelievable circumstances that every reporter is just commenting on, right? You know, the Big 12, now we have the AAC, we have ESPN, right. We have news organizations. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. It's going to be decided, in my opinion, in the courtroom, right? In the next couple of years, we're going to be talking about how this case ran its course, and all of a sudden college football fans will be left, you know, basically holding the bag. I can't talk about it anymore. I know we have to do the show. I'm locked and loaded. I know it's a hot topic, but get us to August 28th, baby. Let's just kick the season off, because by then it's all the throttle is down. I'm flabbergasted. I can't even talk right now.
Well, look, Joe, you're right, and we are going to, trust me, we're going and we're taking a deep dive into some of these lines for the season, week two and beyond today. But we have to talk about what has gone on, though, for at least for a couple minutes. The Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlesby believes that ESPN has conspired with the American Conference to take all the remaining teams away and steal them to form basically their own 20-team, if you even want to call it a super conference. It's going to have 20 teams in it. I wouldn't call it super compared to what everybody else has. But Bowlesby yesterday, Joe, not happy at all.
No.
Quote, I'm absolutely certain ESPN was involved with it, trying to poach our members. Of course, AAC Commissioner Mike Oresko did not respond to multiple requests for comment. ESPN put a statement out saying the claims in the letter have no merit. They gave him a cease and desist, Joe.
I mean,
honestly, this is just, it's getting ugly here.
It is. It's getting ugly on multiple fronts, and people are leaking information, and it's schools within their own respective conference. It's actually probably media members. It's people in terms of management positions, and this is the problem that we're going to have. It's just not going to stop. If you're the Big 12 and you lose Oklahoma and Texas, you need to do something to get your program and conference back on track. How do you do that? How do you reassert your power? You can't outside of doing what Bowlesby's already done, right? I mean, he's called out ESPN, but that in the end is ultimately just going to hurt the conference anyway because the games are shown on ESPN, right? So now you want to call out the main media partner that basically televises all of your games. Okay, you could go to Fox, you can go to maybe CBS in that regard, but ultimately, what's the end game here? What really happened? If the teams within the Big 12 decide to move, you have nothing. You have absolutely nothing. And then guess what? He's basically a lame duck president for that matter.
No doubt. College football full circle here. We welcome in our listeners on Sports Map Radio. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi here. Talking about the college football expansion, and you're right, Joe, and really it gets to one bigger thing that Bowlesby's talking about, and that is that this is all being played like puppet master style by Texas and Oklahoma with ESPN because they want to get the end game to start playing in the SEC next season and not waiting until 2025. So the working theory here, Joe, is that if they can disrupt the Big 12 to where they completely dissolve, Texas and Oklahoma can then say, hey, we don't have to give you guys any money. We can start playing in the SEC next year. This is outstanding.
Right. And then everybody wins, right? As the college football fan wins. I mean, if we could start seeing those games next year, Carver, you and I are going to be lined up, right? From 12 o'clock until 2 o'clock in the morning, we're going to be watching those games. And realistically, that's all the SEC cares about. That's all Oklahoma and Texas care about at this juncture. The other schools are at a significant disadvantage. We had Chad Brown on yesterday that talked about the revenue for some of these respective teams. They just don't have the equal ground. They can't compete from a monetary standpoint with the likes of Alabama, with the likes of Oklahoma and Texas, respectively. They just don't have the resources. And in the end, the only people that get hurt are those student athletes that are part of those programs, right? You go to Baylor, you go to West Virginia, wanting to play Big 12 football, right? For 4 years down the road, possibly. That might not transpire over the next few years.
No, you're absolutely right, Joe. And, it just, every day, the story gets crazier and crazier. I mean, slapping ESPN with the cease and desist, it's just hilarious. College football full circle. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi, here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. We get the show going. We keep rolling right after this on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we're back. College football full circle right here. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204. Now, Joe, you were just explaining to me, obviously, there's a whole bunch of, there's so much legal stuff involved here. Look, I think that if you're going to end up with these two quote-unquote super conferences that we've been discussing here for the past week, which is what the SEC is building and whatever the Big Ten may do with the Pac-12, etc., I mean, those eight teams, if they went and joined the American and got them to, what, 20, Joe? That would put 20
right.
teams. If they took all eight teams, you're talking a 20-team American conference. Now, none of the teams have the kind of power and the anchorability of an Oklahoma or a Texas or a Michigan or an Ohio State, etc. Mm-hmm. But it is a 20-team league, which would have some dynamic football teams in it and would garner some interest on a Saturday. There's no doubt.
Oh, it would.
Put those 20 teams together.
And it would have the logistical type of matchups that you want to see, right? You have Tulane that is in Louisiana, right? That borders Texas. So you have Texas Tech if you add them. You have Houston, right? Those are great matchups. So you have SMU that's in that conference. Cincinnati with Luke Fickell. So there's going to be some intriguing matchups should these teams jump. And I think the biggest thing is, you're right, they're nowhere near where the SEC is going to be by now adding Oklahoma and Texas. But this is competitive football, and from a viewership perspective, I would sign up for that conference any day of the week, right? I mean, put it on from 12 to 3:30, right? Those games, and we would watch those. I would watch 18 hours of the American Athletic Conference. I do already, but the bottom line is it makes it more watchable having those interstate rivalries and adding solid teams, and that's what you want, right? If we're going to expand the playoff, you want to give these teams an opportunity to compete. At the end of the day, there will be maybe five or six SEC teams, and the other six will be made up of either the American Athletic, the ACC, the Big Ten, and the Pac-12 at this point.
No, it's true. And teams like Houston and SMU, they've been chomping at the bit to get back to playing, you know, Texas Tech and Baylor, you know, other teams in Texas and Oklahoma State, etc. Now, they'd rather play, of course, Texas and Oklahoma all the time, but if Houston has a chance to once again start playing Baylor and start playing TCU and those other schools in state, they are going
it
to
makes
absolutely
sense.
Love that opportunity. I think at the end of the day, Joe, that is what's going to happen. I believe whether you want to call it them calling it the Big 12 or the American, it's going to end up being American because there's too much power behind it right now, Joe. And that's why Bowlesby's mad because he knows this is going to happen. ESPN has enough juice, and the SEC is pushing this as well because they know it's going to get Texas and Oklahoma into their backyard a lot faster. There's too many powerful money-driven forces behind this, Joe. This is what you're going to get, the 20 teams in the American. That's it.
But that'll be a very intriguing conference, Carver, right? I mean, tell me this. Let's be honest, and I know a lot of college football fans only know about the Power Five, but there's some solid teams in the American, right? You're telling me just on paper alone, if you give me that Baylor-Houston matchup or Texas Tech-Houston or SMU-Texas Tech, right? Or even Cincinnati in those teams. I would watch that just as much as I would watch a Pac-12 game. And don't tell me that just on paper these teams could develop in a couple of years to challenge a conference like the Pac-12. The Pac-12 is not that dominant. Outside of Oregon, realistically, what team do we have? Yeah, we have name recognition with USC and UCLA, but outside of that, we don't have a dominant football team coming out west.
Yeah, no, look, Joe, we'll watch these games, there's no doubt, especially from a gambling perspective. I mean, these games will be zany if you had these 20 teams in the American Conference. But I hope none of them expect to be winning a national title because that's
not going
to happen.
Well, that's the thing.
None of the teams, right? And none of them will be in the mix, Joe. None of them. This conference is not good enough to stack up with what they're creating in the SEC. Now, it's fun for television. It's fun for betting. It's fun for other things. But these 20 teams aren't going to have a sniff of the national title. You're absolutely right.
But isn't it like this, Carver? Isn't it basically what we see in college basketball? Look at Houston in terms of the Cougars' run to the Final Four. In the end, they got to the dance, and they got blown out by a better team in Baylor, right? Yeah. Because they just didn't have the horses to compete with the better, more athletic team. It's going to be the same thing in terms of college football. Yeah, Cincinnati could go maybe toe-to-toe with Georgia one day of the week. If you play those games 10 times or 100 times over the course of the year, Desmond Ritter in Cincinnati is not going to outduel that front seven of the Georgia Bulldogs.
Especially if it's a game, and I know Cincinnati plays Georgia, of course. A game that matters where half of Georgia's team that knows they're going to the NFL draft doesn't sit the game out, and the game actually has some juice behind it. I think they beat them 9 out of 10 times. And it's funny you mentioned Houston and Baylor in the Final Four. So they could be conference rivals here if this American Big 12 thing happens. You have Houston and Baylor in the same conference in basketball and football. So
it makes sense, doesn't it? It makes sense. I guess the bigger question is, what is the end result? I mean, okay, so they're looking to really strengthen their strategic partnerships within the conference. Okay, that's great from a revenue perspective. But outside of that, if Clemson moves from the ACC and Notre Dame all of a sudden moves to a conference, now what do we have? We have maybe one or two top conferences and then everyone else? It's exactly what we have already. It's just true. Oklahoma and Texas were proactive, and they actually made the move, I think, maybe 2 or 3 years before maybe some other schools. And the other question I want to ask you, Carver, is this. You can't tell me this was like a month in terms of the making. This had to be going on
years
for a year. Or once the NIL deal got finalized by the NCAA, they said we need to act sooner rather than later.
Listen, that initial report that we did a week ago, before all these things started happening, Joe, that says that they've been talking about this for months. They didn't all just wake up last Thursday and decide, hey, we're going to move Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC. This has been in motion for a while. The SEC, the American, and ESPN knew that this would be the next domino that they would try to move after that was done, and that's exactly what's happening. All right, we're going to end it on this, though, Joe, because I do want to get to some other stuff with you. Did you see Spurrier talk about Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC?
No, I didn't. I heard about it, but I didn't see it personally.
We love the old ball coach because he always speaks his mind, as you know. Here's Spurrier's quote to the Orlando Sentinel. I can understand Texas jumping over. They get to play Texas A&M again. They get to, well, you know, they can't win the Big 12 anyway. I think they've only won two in the last 30 years or so. What is it? So basically, Steve's right. He's like, what does Texas care? They never win their conference. They can just go over to the SEC and still not win conference championships. And then he did say he doesn't understand why Oklahoma's doing it because they have such an easy time winning the Big 12 right now. He says they will not have that going to the SEC and having to play Alabama and LSU, etc.
Oh, he's right. He's dead on with that. We said it before. You know, the reason why Oklahoma and Texas respectively can't compete with the big boys is the interior line. They just don't have the physicality. Are they going to be able to out-recruit Nick Saban in Alabama, Auburn, LSU? It's going to be very difficult. And that's the main driver in terms of building programs over the next 5 to 10 years.
It really is. But I love Spurrier.
You love him.
I love Spurrier, Joe. I don't know how you
do
felt
you?
About
him. Did you love him when he was the Washington football coach?
No, of course not. I
Shane
didn't like
Matthews.
That. I would have preferred that he coached at Florida for his entire career. I thought he's not an NFL coach, but there's plenty of college coaches who aren't, Joe. We've seen it's more swings than misses. I mean, more misses than hits as far as it goes with college coaches going to the NFL. But I like Spurrier, and I always liked him at Florida, and I don't like that he went to Washington. So there you go. That's what I like.
You liked him at South Carolina.
He actually made South Carolina relevant for a couple years, which isn't very easy to do, Joe. He made South Carolina relevant.
He beat Alabama, too.
He did. College football full circle. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi right here. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. We get into some crazy props for college football right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we're back. College football full circle right here. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. All right, Joe. It's time. We need to start getting into some futures here. And I saw an absolutely zany college football future that our boy Dave Sharapan tweeted out this morning. And, of course, you know, Dave, you see him on a lot of Sports Grid Network, Sportsbook Consigliere. tweeted this out, and I immediately tagged you, and I was like, Joe, we got to deal with this today. This is too good. So this prop, Joe, is available at WinBets. WinBet, which is in New Jersey, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, Tennessee, and Virginia, if you're looking for this wager. It's available in all of those states on the WinBet app. So here it is, Joe. More combined regular season wins.
Right.
UNLV, Akron, and UMass combined. Right. All three of those teams against combined wins for UConn, Kansas, and Louisiana Monroe. Of course, we talked to Terry Bowden last week, our boy. And the juice here is the UNLV Akron UMass side is minus 125, and the UConn Kansas ULM side is plus 105. I got to tell you, Joe, before we even talk about who we like in a bet like this, I love the creativity here because
it's creative. I'll give it that.
These are six teams that when you talk about trying to wager on these teams on a weekly basis or win totals, things like that, I mean, it is tough. You're talking about teams that basically combined, Joe, all six of these teams in a COVID-shorted season last year combined for one win. Akron had a win. Everybody else had zero. UConn didn't even play, Joe.
Well, that's what's great about college football. You get the ability to have these unique bets that really entice gamblers, right? And that's what we like to see. And credit Dave. I mean, Dave is out there, right? He's on Twitter. He posts these crazy things. You're like, he can't wait to poke the bear. Let's talk about it because this is a phenomenal bet in the sense of there's value there, right? I mean, if you really believe that one of those teams could overexceed expectations in terms of the bottom half, right? The bottom half of the six teams that we have. If there's one team that, let's say, has a win total of 1.5 and they get to 4 or 5 wins this year, you're way ahead in terms of this bet, and you can maybe win it by the midway point of 2021. So it is an interesting cap. I'll give you that. But I do lean to one side, and I have some reasons about why I feel that way.
All right, so let's get into it, Joe. What side do you lean to here? Do you lean to the minus 125 with UNLV, Akron, and UMass, or the plus 105 with UConn, Kansas, and ULM?
Well, I go to the plus side, and there's a reason why I like that. Now, we have to keep into account that schedules matter, right? That's a main reason why Akron, UMass, and UNLV are the favorite, because of the schedule perspective. You look at Kansas in the Big 12, right? We see ULM. We know they're out-of-conference games at Kentucky, LSU, Jackson State with primetime, right? And then you have UConn and Randy Edsall that you mentioned did not play last year. Is there going to be continuity? But I look at the other factor. I look at the head coaching advantage of all three of those coaches that are getting positive value. Randy Edsall, even though I don't love him, he's still a quality, experienced head coach. We know about my sentiments about my personal friend Terry Bowden, and in terms of the offensive coordinator that he brought, Rich Rodriguez, former West Virginia coach and former offensive coordinator at Arizona. And then Lance Leipold from Buffalo, that now is the new head coach of Kansas, a blue-collar coach that coaches up offense and defensive line play. They're not going to wow people this year, but they're going to close the gap and be in some games. So that's the first reason. When you go to the flip side, you have a first-year head coach in UNLV with Marcus Arroyo. We don't know what to expect in terms of taking over for Tony Sanchez and that offensive philosophy a few years ago. What's that team going to look like? We have Walt Bell at UMass. Okay, that is a combined, I believe, 1-15 since he took over the job in 2019. He was the offensive coordinator with Willie Taggart of Florida State. He should have never have gotten that job because their offense was pitiful. Carver, UMass averaged 3 points a game last year. He was the offensive coordinator at Florida State. They were pathetic under freaking Willie Taggart. He gets the job at UMass, and he still has a job in 2021. Okay, and then Tom Arth, who took over for Terry Bowden. They ran Terry Bowden out of Akron, okay? All Terry Bowden did was lead that team to its first bowl win, okay? The most wins in school history, and because he had a 4-win season, they wanted their guy in Tom Arth, right? Okay, Terry Bowden beat Northwestern and Pat Fitzgerald in 2019. They ran him out of town for Tom Arth. First year 0-12, last year winless. Another guy that can't coach up the offensive side of the ball, even though he's got Cato Nelson. I'm taking the underdog with the positive value there.
Yeah, and the underdog actually would have won this bet 2 years ago in a full season. Now, it's 2 years. A lot of things are different. But obviously in 2019, Joe, we played a full 12 games. And the UConn-Kansas-ULM would have won in a rout. 5 wins for ULM, 3 for Kansas, 2 for UConn. So there you go. 10 wins. And the other side, UNLV had 4. UMass had 1. Akron had 0. So they would have won in a rout 2 years ago in this bet. This is hard for me. I want to back Terry in this. Just
oh,
Terry
it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy.
But this goes back to what we talked about the other day. There's a Tate Martell factor with UNLV for me. I know you don't like
Tate
it.
Martell.
I know you don't want to hear it.
Tate
but it's
Martell.
There for me. Like, I honestly feel like that UNLV could actually win a few games.
No,
if
I
he's
agree with you.
Starting quarterback this year. Akron and UMass are a joke, Joe.
No, they're a joke. But quarterback play, I will say this. The advantage is to the favor for quarterback play. Cato Nelson's a dual threat. I mean, Coach Bowden, we brought him in. I believe the kid was from Florida. And he was an athletic dual threat quarterback. But in that offensive scheme, he's not utilized properly. So it comes down to, from a player perspective, we believe in, like you said, Tate Martell. And you believe in Cato Nelson. When you look at UMass, best player on that team is Jermaine Johnson, their speedy wide receiver. Quarterback play is still in doubt. But do you believe in the head coaches? That's the other thing. I mean, do you really believe in Tom Arth? Do you believe in Marcus Arroyo in year one? And do you believe in Walt Bell? I mean, do you feel like, do you have enough confidence that they're going to pull out 4 or 5 wins? Because I think that's what you're going to need. You know, the problem is that the other teams play Power 5 competition, right? They play Power 5 opponents.
Here's what I'm trying to look at, Joe. When I'm trying to make a bet like this for which of these six teams can somehow garner the most wins, I think we have to add up the amount of games each team plays against the lower competition, the FBS school. I think that that's what we have to try to think. Because you would think, Joe, that even an awful team like Akron should be able to beat Bryant at home, right? Like, is that
well, that's
like,
the that's like the that, win, right? That's their right. one win, Bryant. Like, if they can't beat Bryant, right. they shouldn't be at the FBS so, level. And so, by the way,
yeah,
have you ever been to Akron? The Barley House, fantastic bar downtown Akron. They have a jalapeno burger that'll knock your socks off.
UConn plays Holy Cross on September 4th.
Like, they got to win that
They
game.
Should win. I mean, Edsel should be fired if he can't beat Holy Cross, right, Joe? I mean, honestly, like, you have
well,
to
here's
win that
the other thing,
game.
Too, Carver, in terms of the cap,
they
right?
They play you Yale. Think, I mean, they got a game against Yale on the schedule here.
All right, but here's the thing, though. Let's keep this in mind. UConn didn't play all last year. If the kids aren't up and ready to play in 2021, there's a problem, right? Let's be honest. If you didn't play football all of 2020, and your opening week, you start out, like you said, if it is Holy Cross, I didn't look at the schedule, you got to go all in, right? You better be in that game. I mean, wow. For a year of not playing ball, are you kidding me? You would have to say these kids are going to be into the season, right?
UConn starts a week 0 game at Fresno State Saturday.
No, they're getting blitzed in that game. Their defense was atrocious.
Then they come home for the Holy Cross game the following Saturday.
Okay, so let's give them a win at Holy Cross.
They'll have a game under their belt. Joe, they'll have a game under their belt when they play Holy Cross. That's a good thing. Look, I'm looking at these schedules, Joe. Me and you are putting this in together. We're playing the UConn-Kansas ULM side.
Yeah.
I think that they have more. There's more winnable games here, and there is a crossover game, Joe. This could be good. If me and you make this bet, this is going to be the one game we're locked in on. Saturday, October the 9th, UConn at UMass. That's going to be a big game. That's going to be a win one side or the other, Joe. We're locking
it
in
we're
right now.
Yeah, we're taking the UConn side. We're taking the UConn side. We're taking ULM, we're taking Kansas, and we're taking Randy Edsel and UConn. We have three experienced head coaches that, let's be honest, I mean, Terry Bowden wants to turn around that program. Lance Leipold wants to turn around that program. And if you're Randy Edsel that built that program up, and then he comes back, he's basically like the Hamburglar, right? He's stealing money right now. I mean, that team didn't even do anything.
Look, I think because they're the one team on this list that has a schedule where I don't see a, quote, guaranteed win. because you told me this last week. When I told you UNLV is playing Eastern Washington, you said that's not a guaranteed win. You said
no,
that UNLV
not.
Could lose to Eastern Washington. And they're out of conference games at Arizona State, Iowa State. Those are games that they're going to get whacked in. So I honestly believe that that side, even Kansas, like South Dakota, Joe, you tell me that new coach in Kansas, he better beat South Dakota the first game of the season at home. He better.
Yeah, I agree with that. How about this?
Kansas. You got to win that game.
How about this for Akron at Auburn? They're not winning that game.
They have
at
one
Auburn,
winnable game.
Temple. Temple week two, right? You say, oh, it's Temple, but they have DeJuan Mathis there, the former Georgia quarterback that transferred over. So he's there with Rod Carey. They follow that up 2 weeks later after Bryant at the Horseshoe, Ohio State.
Fun. We're going to have fun with this one, Joe. College football full circle. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi, right here, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. Some more look at headlines when we come back right here, College Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we are back. College Football Full Circle, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204, Mike Carver and Joe Lisi. And Joe, we have definitely fell down the rabbit hole here. All it took was Sharapan tweeting out that prop with the six like worst teams in college football.
Right.
Me and you go on this WinBet app. And suddenly, we've got ourselves like seven other ones that we absolutely love here. I'll throw you this one because I think this is the one that excited you the most. And this is at WinBet, where you can get them in Colorado. If you're betting in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, Nevada, I believe, you can get WinBet app. So Penn State and West Virginia combined regular season wins against Florida and Virginia Tech. Combined regular season wins. Me and you have already said we're real down on Virginia Tech. We think they're going to be awful. So you've got to lay the juice for Penn State and West Virginia. Minus 120. It's plus 100 for the Gators and the Hokies. Go ahead, Joe. The floor is yours.
Well, just seeing Penn State, West Virginia brings me back to the days of Jake the Snake Kelchner in Morgantown, okay, with the mullet back in the day, okay? Jake the Snake! I love Penn State and West Virginia. West Virginia is a team I'm high on with Neil Brown. I told you about the progression of the running game. 2 years ago, almost dead last in FBS, 128 yards. Excuse me, ranked 128th in FBS of 130 teams. Last year with Lenny Brown, they were a very good running team. Jared Daigie takes the next step. That defense led by Dante Stills, I think, is going to be a pretty good defense in the Big 12. They only allowed 130 rushing yards per game last year, Carver, and that win over Army was quality. That was a short notice game. They beat the triple option. That's a quality win. 6.5 is their win total, so I think they could be a surprise team in the Big 12. And then we talked about Penn State. They could have folded last year under James Franklin. They start 0-5. They reel off four straight wins. Sean Clifford is a senior. You have Joey Porter Jr. in the secondary. They're going to be dialed in. I said they can challenge Ohio State. Their win total on FanDuel was 9. I think they could be a 10 or an 11 win team in 2021.
Yeah, I think that that's one of the things you obviously got to look at when you're doing a bet like this, Joe. I think you got to take the win totals, obviously. And listen, they've already done this. This is why they've matched these teams together. You got to take the win totals of these teams, match them up, look at the schedules, try to find how many games you think, and nothing's ever certain in college football, you think you have in the bank.
Right.
Before, you know, you get to the questionable toss-up games. And when you look at these four teams, like, you're right. I mean, there's a reason why Penn State and West Virginia are on the minus 120 side.
Right. And I'll give you another stat.
Here. Yeah.
I'll give you another stat to break down. Florida with Emory Jones loses their top three wide receivers, right? They lose Pitts. They lose Kadarius Toney. So that's on the Florida side, right? Virginia Tech under Justin Fuente since 2017, over the last 3 years, he's 1-10 against AP competition straight up.
Wow.
They open against that? North Carolina. They got to play West Virginia. Do we really think Virginia Tech lost it at home to Liberty? Come on. This team's
right.
Garbage.
You're right, and you mentioned Liberty, because like I said, we're in the rabbit hole now. I'm just going to give you a couple other ones that I really like here.
What do you
Cincinnati,
got?
Cincinnati and Liberty, -145 against Coastal Carolina and the Raging Cajuns, Louisiana, +125.
You see, I'm inclined to take Coastal.
Now, these, of course,
Louisiana.
These are the four darlings of last year, Joe.
Right.
So I like how they've put these four teams together. These four teams had excellent 2020 seasons. Cincinnati was at the all were undefeated for a long time. I like a bet like this. I got to tell this is another one. I'd have to break the schedules down a lot better. We did that with the bad teams. I didn't get to do that with this one. But I would lean the plus money on this with Coastal.
See, yeah, but here's the problem, and this is why you got to take into account the schedules.
Cincinnati's going to go undefeated, so is Liberty.
It's not just that. It's just college football, right, is much like the NFL. The quarterback runs the bus, and even though Grayson McCall, dynamic season last year, he was a freshman, they're a ground-and-pound type of offense, right? When you look at Des Ridder and you look at Malik Willis in terms of Liberty, those two players can take over a game. Right. Even though I don't love Des Ridder, he is an athletic, mobile quarterback. So that's the one thing when we look at, you know, Louisiana and they lose Elijah Mitchell, their big play running back from last year. Are they going to produce the same way? They're not going to take anybody by storm. Neither is Coastal. But when you look at Cincinnati and you look at Liberty, they are the creme de la creme of those group of five type of teams. Right. So from a quarterback perspective, you got to say the favorite, you know, both of those teams, Cincy and Liberty, have a significant advantage. But we have to break down that schedule a little bit deeper.
Yeah, and we'll do that another day. We really just got caught up here in a couple of these. We wanted to just do those six awful teams. I think we'll try at least each day or every other day, Joe. We'll pick one of those off win bet there, and we'll try to have some fun. Because I think they're adding them by the day as we get closer to the start of the
college
football
season. Oh, this
is great,
though, Carver.
Oh,
this
I love
great.
These, Joe. These are fun because listen, it's fun to bet win totals. Me and you do a ton of them. We know that. And we're going to talk about a bunch of win totals between now and kickoff. But having that added element of now you're not just betting the win total of one team. You're with somebody. You got a partner. You're going against two teams. It puts you invested in four teams throughout the course of the college football season, which I find to be a lot of fun. I did want to give you today, though, Joe, also a couple of look-ahead lines, not to week one, which we're, of course, doing every day at the end of each show, but beyond week one, because I think there's some interesting stuff here, Joe. You can get some lines for these games now in weeks two and beyond that you're not going to get the week of the game.
Exactly.
There's things that, of course, change throughout the course of a season, and many books have numbers up for games week two and beyond. I'm going to give you a couple for week two here, which is, of course, September 11th on that Saturday. Iowa State, -5 at home against Iowa in week number one. You've got Stanford getting 14.5 at USC in week two. Illinois getting 11 at Virginia. That's an interesting game to me because that right there, Joe, is the type of game where a line could be a lot different by the time we get there. We don't know what Illinois is going to be yet. With Bilema coming back in the mix in the Big Ten. What if they play really well against Nebraska in that Week 0 game, maybe even beat them? You're not going to get 11 at Virginia there in Week 2.
No, you're not. Now, do you like Brett Bielema over Bronco Mendenhall from a coaching perspective, right? They have
yes,
Brandon Peters there. That's you do, right?
I don't like Bronco.
All right. Well, quarterback, you see, quarterback play, we got to give it to Brennan Armstrong, right? The signal caller for Virginia. I do. I'm not sold on Brandon Peters. You know, I feel like he's been there 100 years in terms of Champaign. But, you know, 11.5, Virginia's a sneaky team because they have Keaton Thompson. There. He was the former Miss State quarterback. They utilize him in terms of RPOs. I'm a big backer of Virginia. I like they're a disciplined team. I would probably right here, right now, lay it, but you never know. The game that stands out for me is you mentioned Stanford and USC. I think Stanford is garbage. I'm sorry. I know they were 4-2 last year, but we talked about Clay Helton. If you can't beat Stanford by 17 points or more with Keaton Slovis, Come on.
And Joe, think about this. We just did, what was it, yesterday for our week one line of the day? We did USC, right, against San Jose State?
15.5.
It was 15.5. So this line's 14.5. That really tells you how bad Stanford's going to be. If Stanford and San Jose State in back-to-back weeks are both going to the Coliseum, to play USC, and there's only a one-point difference between the two of them, that tells you all you need to know, Joe, that Stanford is not going to be a good football team this year.
No, I don't think they are. You know, they lost their identity, and we talked about Stanford in terms of the transition. When Christian McCaffrey was there and when Bryce Love was there, they pounded the rock over 5 yards a carry. You know, you go back to last year and over the last couple of years, it significantly decreased. They became a one-dimensional team because teams forced them to beat them over the top. Now, last year, after Bryce Love left, they went from like 5 yards a carry down to 3.5. And that's a huge dip, right? That's 1.5 yards less per carry. What does that mean? Teams are now forcing you into long third down situations. You become one-dimensional. Your offensive line gives way, and there's quarterback pressures. They got it up to 4 yards a carry last year, but they didn't play anybody with Davis Mills. They beat Cal on the road in Berkeley last year. Come on.
Yeah, you're right. Now, this is one game we've discussed a little bit, and it's actually a game where I don't think the line will change much based on what happens in week one, unless there are significant injuries. That we know can always change the line. But I think, Joe, no matter what, when Oregon goes to the Shoe to take on Ohio State, I think that game's going to be right where it is right now. I think it's a 10-point type of game. You want to tell me week of, maybe Oregon gets a little juice for their blowout win at home in week one. Maybe it gets to 9.5. I don't see this line moving that much off of where it is right now.
No, I can't see it moving much, but if it dips under 10, I would be inclined to take the Buckeyes. Because it could be like a three-point game much of the way, let's just say, right? And then in the fourth quarter, you always have the shot to cover that line, right, by 10. So if it dips under 10, I'm a buyer of Ohio State. I can't buy into Mario Cristobal, Anthony Brown. They have the playmakers. Let's make no mistake about it. Jalen Redd, they have Pittman, Johnson at the wide receiver position. They have Travis Dye, C.J. Verdell. They're going to be there. It's just a matter of can Thibodeau and that defense step up to pressure C.J. Stroud. I don't know if they can do it. They haven't shown it in recent years, right?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I'm with you. I think that if that did dip under 10 for whatever reason, you should jump on the Buckeyes. Now, this game I have seen movement in already, and we haven't even played the game yet. 2 weeks ago, Washington was one-point favorites going to the Big House in week two, September 11th, to play Michigan. Now, Joe, Michigan is -1. They are the home favorite, which I think makes a little bit more sense.
Yes,
against the Huskies. So now you're getting the Huskies getting one on the road at the Big House against Michigan. Basically a pick 'em game, Joe. Obviously that 1 point
it is a pick 'em.
Can clearly we've seen it in the past. The 1 point can clearly come into play, but it's basically a pick 'em here with 1 point Washington and Michigan.
It is. Now the problem is under Jim Harbaugh over the last 3 years, right? Basically up until 2019, they were 17-3 at home under Jim Harbaugh and Ann Arbor, straight up. Last year, 0-3. You get blown out by Wisconsin. You lose as a 25.5-point favorite to Michigan State. You know, so they need this game. They lose to Washington, it is all over. I like Dylan Morris at the quarterback position. Jimmy Lake has coached up that defensive side of the ball. The pressure is on. I mean, can Alan Bowman or Cade McNamara lead that team? What does Michigan's offense look like? We had Jerry DiNardo on that basically said they still haven't figured things out. That's going to be intriguing to me. I thought, you know, definitely Michigan when they were a 2.5-point favorite. Now as a 1-point favorite, I need to see more. You know, I would lean Michigan, but I don't love this game. I got to be honest with you.
No, I'm with you, Joe. This is a very tough game, especially where the line is. I might be more interested in the total when we get a little closer and we find out what that total is going to be. I think that would be more where I'm going to be looking. Geez, there's so many other games. Tomorrow, Joe,
give me another one.
More.
What do you got?
I'll give you one more right now. A future SEC conference game, Texas and Arkansas. Longhorns -3.5 right now. They're going to be conference foes in a year or two, Joe.
Yes, I love Texas early on. That Southwest Conference rematch is great. A lot of pressure on KJ Jefferson. I don't know if they have the speed to keep up with Texas. I think Joshua Moore breaks out. Bijan Robinson. I'll take it under 4. Give me Texas.
There you go. All right, college football full circle. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi right here. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. We come back. Joe's week one line of the day. We'll see what Lisi likes here. We'll keep rolling. College football full circle after that.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we're back. College Football Full Circle right here. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi here with you as we do every day. Closing out the show before we get to week one, we have Joe's week one line of the day. Joe never has any idea what game I am going to throw him. As we finish the show today, Joe, I'm actually going to go with one that you brought up because I saw how passionate you were about it. The Ohio State Buckeyes go to Minnesota in week number one, September 2nd, 8 o'clock, primetime game, Joe. I believe that that's actually a Thursday night game, Ohio State and Minnesota. Minus 13.5 for the Buckeyes going to take on P.J. Fleck, rowing the boat. What do you like here, Joe, early on?
Well, this line sticks out to me. It's under two touchdowns. It's sneaky under two touchdowns, 13.5. It's like almost begging you to take Ohio State. Now, Ohio State has Oregon on deck. We talked about the potential for Oregon with the look ahead. What about the potential look ahead for Ohio State? As much as it's a conference game against Minnesota, you're looking ahead to that big game against your Pac-12 opponent. But from the quarterback perspective, Tanner Morgan has a significant advantage over C.J. Stroud, right? In making his first start, a lot of pressure on the youngster to step up in Ryan Day's offense. Can he do that? It might be a tougher game than people think, and I'm high on Minnesota to steal the West this year. I love Mo Ibrahim, the running back out of Minnesota. I like P.J. Fleck to bounce back in a big way. He'll have his team amped up. I'm taking the 13.5 in that ballgame.
I got to tell you, Joe, you're right. This line stinks. There's just something about this line that just doesn't
seem kosher. Why is it not over 14? It's like right there.
Yeah, no, you're right. And if you look, if you really do love Ohio State, Joe, you know, this is probably time to get it. Because week of the game, it's probably going to get hammered up. You know, you would have to think it's going to get hammered up a bit at the week of the game. All right, Joe, tremendous stuff. As always, my man, I will talk to you tomorrow. Great job by Andrew Torres. College Football Full Circle. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi. We'll see you guys tomorrow right here on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Black Friday at BJ's Wholesale Club is so big, we called in the expert at paying less around the holidays.
Scrooge here. Past, present, or future, it's hard to beat the Black Friday deals at BJ's. Believe me, I've tried. Get 25% off select toys, 30% off select small appliances, and 45% off select TVs through December 1st. Plus, doorbuster deals Thanksgiving weekend. These prices are so good they even rattled out Marley's Jane. Bah, humbug. Sorry, old habit.
Visit BJ's.com/Black Friday for holiday savings.